Welcome to the CLC podcast. CLC is the Columbus Leadership Campus of Point University located at North Highland Church. CLC exists to equip young leaders and to help them unlock their God-given potential through practical ministry training and a biblical education. For more information about our school, you can visit our website at clcgeorgia.com.
Well, good morning. It is Monday morning. I got my white girl latte. Anybody else had a white girl latte this morning? Yes, you got one in a bottle. That's good. Awesome. Pumpkin spice, it's that time of year. Yeah. Or they can call it a, I'm sorry, my little clock is telling me to eat or something, which I don't need to. You know, these aren't skinny jeans. These are like normal jeans I grew into. So pardon me as I situate myself. Well, thank you. Listen, I love this church. I do for so many reasons, and let me explain. I used to go to this church back in, man, it was a long time ago, maybe like 2009, for about a couple years. I feel like this is home. I feel like Columbus is my home. I just want to give honor to your pastor, Dennis Lacey. He means so much more to me than you will ever imagine. This church means so much. His leadership, his, you know this, he's like the most loving man on earth. He's the most stable man on earth. Like, you can say whatever you want about him. He just kind of like still loves you. And Brad's leadership, and of course your leadership of Jonathan Jubilee and your student ministries. And we work together the best and the worst of times. And we all made it. Ministry does that to you. It's tough and it's awesome all at once. And then obviously Justin and Cassie are the best. I mean, the absolute best. Listen, these four leaders that are in this room, let me just kind of brag on them. And you already know this because you wouldn't be there. You wouldn't be here if you didn't believe this. But these guys are the most resilient, secure people. You can throw whatever you want at them, at their personal life, in their ministry life, in their public life, and they still trudge on for the kingdom of God, which is awesome. Can we give it up for them? All right. They are the best. I really do feel like I'm at home here. This church has seen me in my darkest of moments. And God's a full circle God. Can we just say it that way? He's just a good God. You'll see this. My name is Ben. I'm a husband. I'm a dad. I'm a pastor in that order. And I have the honor of pastoring the Church of the Groves in Albany, Georgia, which is like an hour south of here, hour and a half south of here. And, man, a lot of people have been here. You guys have been there at the church. Jubilee spoke for us on a Sunday morning. I think Justin and Dakota spoke on a Wednesday night. We love it. And Angel has drummed for us, actually, in our intro video. Like, he's still in our intro video because we got a picture of him doing that. So I feel like we're all kind of kindred here. Listen, I'm a pastor of the Church of Groves. We had a big day yesterday. It's called Vision Day. We have three big Sundays a year, Easter, Christmas, and Vision Day. And Vision Day is in the middle of September. It's when we relaunched our church two years ago now, as the Church of the Groves. And so it's like a big birthday party. We talk about what God has done in the past, where he's brought us, and then we celebrate that, and then we cast vision for the next year. And so we did that yesterday. And it's funny, I woke up this morning, you know, you look at Facebook to see what people are saying, and we had our first online review. And it's not by like a professional critic. There was actually a small church that was closing, so one of their old members came over to ours. He actually was a part of our church for about a month, about 2 years ago, and he turned in a membership card. And it's the first member we've ever denied membership to, because in the first week, the first time he visited, before the first song was sung, he ended up making himself known and ticking off our worship leader, our children's pastor, a board member, and then by the end of the service, myself. And so we said, no, there's 300 churches here in Albany. God bless you. Hope you find a better one that suits you. And here he comes in yesterday. And can I just read I just want to, this is not a rant. This is just, this goes into a lesson for you all this morning. I promise. It makes sense. This is not just me ranting. I think, honestly, he probably reviewed Hillsong Music more than he reviewed us badly. But then he says, his comment on his own thing says this: by the way, I hung around within Ben's sight line after church for a good while. To which my daughter, who is 11, said, "Dad, that's just creepy." And I said, "Yes, it kind of is, right? It is super creepy." But here's my point. As you go through your life, no matter what you do, whether you're in ministry, whether you are going into the marketplace, whether you're going to be a doctor, a lawyer, nurse, business person, business owners, I think Taylor Swift said it the best: haters going to hate. They are going to hate on you. They're going to throw everything they can at you. They're going to judge you from afar, not knowing who you are, especially when you're in ministry. And this is the way it works. You're going to have people that don't believe in you. And I love it, and I think it's so brilliant this, how the Holy Spirit puts it together. But that song we just sang, that God comes to your battle, and he there's not a lie he won't tear down on your behalf. And if you can cling on to those words as you go through your life, you will be secure, and it doesn't matter what comes your way, because your eyes are focused on Jesus, and that's all that matters. But there's some things that we can do. God fights on our behalf, but there's some things we can do. And I want to jump into a scripture, one of my favorite passages, one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. It's Matthew 25, so if you've got Bibles, or a tablet, or a computron, or a phone, Matthew 25, it's got like three parables. It's like three stories that Jesus writes, and we're going to go to the middle one, and we're going to look at this idea of what happens in your life when God gives you something. And so it's a long scripture, but can we just read it? Because it is God's word, right? So it says this: again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by a story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave five bags of silver to one, two bags of silver to another, and one bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. Then he left on his trip. The servant who received the five bags of silver began to invest the money and earn five more. The servant with two bags of silver also went to work and earn two more. But the servant who had received one bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and laid his master's money. After a long time, the master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they'd used his money. The servant whom he had trusted the five bags of silver came forward with five more and said, "Master, check it out. You gave me five bags of silver to invest, and I have earned five more." The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount." Notice he says small amount. "And so now I will give you many more responsibilities." Less party. Then the servant who had received the two bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me two bags of silver to invest, and I have earned two more." Master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. Let's party." Then the servant with the one bag of silver came and said, "Master, listen, here's the deal. I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops. You didn't plant and gathering crops. You didn't cultivate. I was afraid. So I was afraid I'd lose your money. So I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested the crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money at least in the bank? At least I would have gotten some interest on it." Then he ordered, "Take the money from this servant and give it to the one with 10 bags of silver. Though to those who do well or use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But for those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw Now throw this useless servant out into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That went sideways really quick. And with those very encouraging words, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for Monday mornings. As early as they are, we thank you for lattes. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love. God, we thank you that you chase after us no matter what we do, no matter how hard we try to run from you or how hard we try to neglect you sometimes. Lord, I thank you that we are still in your sights, and you've loved us the whole time, and you are there waiting for us to turn around, notice you, and walk with you again. You are so, so good to us. Now speak to us, make us better. In your name we pray. Amen. Listen, I'm going to talk to you as leaders and as students and people who have chosen to come to a ministry college and improve yourself and who are looking to get better and to change the world, right? That's why we're all here. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit different than I would talk to a church on Sunday morning. Okay, can we do that? We're going to mesh kind of Jesus and leadership all into one, okay? I'm going to give you some principles that I'm learning, but I also want to give you a perspective of where I started out. I graduated from Southeastern University, and my first youth pastor position was in Omaha, Nebraska. Went from Orlando, surfing, to Nebraska, corn shucking. Like nothing but corn in a nice city out there in the Midwest. It's great. But I walked in. I want to give you perspective. Like, this is a great church. Everybody's casual. You can do what you want. You're kind of feeling. It's full of love and just normalcy. And you can be who you are, right? So my first church I walked into, great. It's a huge church, beautiful. I was required every day, not just on Sundays, but every day in the office to wear a tie and not jeans and ties, but khakis or dress pants or whatever else. We had to dress it, suit it and boot it on Sunday through Saturday. That's the way we rolled. It was awful. I also, when they said, all right, here's your office, I rolled up into this office. It was really like the reception area of an office. And there was a filing cabinet about this tall with two drawers. And they said, hey, here's your desk. I said, awesome. That works. Is there a chair? They said, well, I think there's one in the fellowship hall. We can go get one. So I literally had to pull up a chair to that. And I said, is there a computer? They said, no. But we got this nice shiny pen and this little pad of paper for you. Like, we know, we believe in you. You know? And I thought, oh my gosh, what have I done? I've moved 30 hours away in the middle of North America. Like, I used to be on the nice coast. Now I'm right in the middle of nothing. And here I am with my filing cabinet, my chair, and my pad and paper. And but you know what happened over the next couple of years is we saw a lot of good growth. And by the end of it, I could take off my tie and still wear my dress shirt and my dress pants. But at least I didn't wear a tie. I was making change, changing the world. But as I looked at that, I read this scripture in Matthew 25 of these bags of silver. I think back to those times when there was really not a whole lot going for me. And when you graduate from this school, you guys are going to be in so many different areas of ministry and areas of life. Some of you might go to large churches and be a part of a big staff. And some of you are going to go to a podunk town in a rural Georgia, and you're going to have nothing but a filing cabinet and a pad and paper. But let this passage speak to the very core of you. I want to go through some ideas. Can we do that? And they're not going to rhyme, and they're not going to have the same letter at the front of them, but nevertheless, I think they'll be good. Verse 15 says this: the master gave five bags of silver to one, two bags of silver to another, and one bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their social status. Facebook friends, Insta likes, their abilities, Listen, like I said, some of you guys are going to go to like mega churches. Some of you are going to go to small churches. Some of you guys are going to go to medium-sized churches. Some of you are going to start churches. Some of you are going to go into the business place. You're going to care for clients. You're going to start businesses because you got great God-ordained vision ideas that you're going to go and change the world with. And it's all good. But you all are going to have different things, different sizes of responsibility. Listen, five was different than two. Five bags was different than two bags, which is different than one, because God knows your capacity. God knows what you can handle. Back when I was 22 and I went to Omaha, God knew my capacity wasn't to be at a large church with lots of resource. He knew I would squander it. But he gave me what I could handle and what was in my capacity. He doesn't, and here's the other side. When he gives you something in life, if he gives you two bags of silver, he doesn't expect you to turn that two bags of silver into 10 bags of silver. He didn't come back to that person with the two bags and say, hey, you got two more bags? Great, that's four. But this joke over here got 10. Where are you at? You got to get better. And we said, hey, listen, you did your job. Well done. Let's go party. This is going to be amazing. I can trust you. Listen, God gives you what you can handle in your life, in your capacity, in the jobs he's given you, in your responsibility. At each stage that you're at, God gives you an opportunity. You are in CLC. You are here on Monday morning, 9 a.m., 9:30. Was it 10 by now? And God, you might go, what am I doing? I'm here. This isn't like a university, but this is a specialized like sniper unit of the kingdom of God housed in Columbus, Georgia, that he has you here. And this is an opportunity. This is a massive opportunity for you. This is like God giving you five bags of silver and saying, here you go. What are you going to do with it? Because in the end, it's not about how much you had. It's about what you did with it. You may have nothing but a file cabinet and a pad of paper, but do what you can with it. Listen, I've got two kids in my, I shouldn't even call them kids. They're like 22, 23 in our church now. They've been a part of our worship team. He still plays keys for us. Names are Josh and Trista Reed. I did their wedding about a year and a half ago. And let me just tell you about them, because I'm so proud of them. They are diligent young men and young women. They are in college. They're both double majoring, marketing and accounting. His dream is to be an auditor, which, like, my brain doesn't have the capacity to even realize what that means. Like, he wants to audit, like, banks, and he just loves the details. He loves the numbers. But he's double majoring in that and marketing. He's working a full-time job doing landscaping while he's going to do that. She is also double majoring, going to school endless hours, and then she manages a coffee shop in town. And they are the most diligent. They know how to say no. Yeah. They know how, when we come up with opportunities in church, hey, can you do this? It's going to take you like 20 hours a week. They go, nope, but I can give you two. But I've never seen people work so hard and say yes to the right things and no to the right things. God has given them a bag of silver, and they are leveraging it, and they know what to do with it. They know how to say no. And I'm telling you, they are about to own the world. In like 5 years, they will own the world. They're going to have more money and more opportunity than I ever have, because they've taken this moment in this season in their life and said, I can't do the things that are sexy and sensational and sing on stage and get all these accolades when I'm young, because that's what I really want. I'm going to say no to those things right now, and I'm going to divert those and defer them into the future, because I know I have a season and I have a couple bags of silver, and I'm going to do something with them. Because in the end, it's not about how much you have. It's about what you do with it. You may not have much, but this is kind of where creativity comes in, doesn't it? And can I just quote one of your brilliant people here, Juan Rodriguez? Yesterday at 9:24 p.m., he posted, creativity involves breaking out of established patterns in order to look at things in a different way. Brilliant. What does that mean? Why am I quoting him? Because no matter how much you have, sometimes you got to get creative. And creativity means you break out of what everybody else is doing and establish patterns, like with church. What does church look like? Do we do church just because we do church in a certain way? Or is God giving you creativity? If you're sitting at your file cabinet with your pad and pen, what are you going to do? You ask the Holy Spirit for help. God, what am I doing? You ask for God for creativity. Hashtag welcome to your wild side. Verse 16, the servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant who with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole. Three scenarios, right? The first guy, remember, God gives you abilities and talents and bags of silver in which represents responsibilities in this world according to your what? Abilities and capacity, right? So this is a direct reflection on their work ethic. Look at their work ethic. One guy goes out and invests money because he has the capacity, he has the ability to know where to invest and how to invest wisely. The second guy doesn't have that capacity. What does it say he did? He went to work. Some of you may not have, you might go, I'm not a leader. I don't see myself leading hundreds. One, don't tell the Holy Spirit what he can't do in your life. Secondly, God has called you just to plug in. This joker went to work. He put away visions of grandeur that was just way out of his capacity. He knew who he was, and he said, "I'm not going to go invest money because I don't trust myself in that. But I'm going to go to work. I'm going to work hard." When you got a pad and paper in a filing cabinet, guess what you do? You work hard. You hustle. You start grinding real hard. Last guy, his capacity. You wonder why the master gave him 1 bag of silver? You think because he knew his work ethic up front and his ability wasn't that great? I'm not going to give you 5. I just might give you one. And guess what he did with it? Dug a hole and threw it in there. He threw that bag of silver, that opportunity, into a hole. And because he was scared, the one that dug a hole proved the master right about him. Going back to the hating thing, going back to the reviews online and people that, you're going to have people that don't believe in you in your life, right? Maybe for some of you, it's your parents, and they're going, why didn't you just go to college? Why are you here at this Columbus Leadership Campus? I don't understand why you're here. My dad marched my butt into my senior pastor's office in a large church in Orlando and told my pastor, this is not a pastor exaggeration, this is reality. He said to my pastor, he said, tell Ben why he is not called to ministry, please. Just tell him. And my pastor looked at me and was like, hey, Ben's dad, can you give us a moment? Obviously, we walked through it. Then after he told my dad, hey, listen, I think Ben actually might be called to the ministry, he goes, okay. Marched down to the youth pastor's office. Same scenario. Tell him why he's not called to ministry. Like, he's got a bright future. Let's not ruin it. Well, I believe in God. I believe in what we do here at the church, but it's not for my boy. And through a series of events, the Holy Spirit talked to my dad. But here's the thing. There are going to be people that tell you that you can't do it. That, hey, you only got a bag of silver. Your abilities aren't that great. So let's try something different. Listen, I hesitate to say this, but I was at a church where my pastor, I was on staff, told me that I wasn't ready to pastor. Oh, you're not ready. You don't know what you're doing. You know, and you know what I told him? Carpet tiles. You know what I told him is, don't tell me what I can't do. Don't tell me what the Holy Spirit can't do through me. Don't do that. You're not God. You're going to have people in your life that say, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this. Prove them wrong. This man with the one talent proved the master right. He had the opportunity to say, hey, you think I'm only capable of handling one bag of silver? I'm going to prove you wrong. He could have gone out and he could have turned it into at least two or five or ten, but he decided to dig a hole. And you have that same opportunity. You can take moments like these opportunities in your life, and you can dig a hole. You can watch time pass, and you can just kind of say, well, I'm in college, and I will get started when I'm out. Or you can take these moments and invest them in your future. Verse 24, the servant with one bag of silver came and said, Master, I knew you were a harsh man. I'm going to skip to the end, by the way. I'm going to skip over the good parts, and we're going to go straight to the bad part. Can we do that? Then the servant with the one bag of silver came and said, Master, I knew you were a harsh man. I knew you were a harsh man. Which, listen, don't blame your leadership for stuff, for your mistake and your lack of ambition, okay? Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid. I was afraid I'd lose your money. So I hid it in the earth. Now, look, here's your money back. You're welcome. Listen, here's a couple things on this scripture, and I want to go through this quick. People who blame everyone else in life don't get anywhere. If you learn anything in college, is this: don't blame your leadership, your pastor, your environment for your mistake. If you can learn that now, I'm telling you, you can come thank me later. You can write me a letter and say, hey, Ben, hey, I remember, because this is a big deal. These kind of people say, man, if I only had this. Man, if I only had a chapel like this, if I only had a church. You understand, this room is better than a lot of churches I've ever been in. Man, if I only had colored moving lights and haze and a better sound system, if I had comfortable chairs and not pews, if I only was in a non-traditional church. Man, if only this lady on the front row didn't have a tambourine. If you spend your life saying, if I only dot, 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 if you spend your whole life saying that, guess what? You're not going to get anywhere, because you're going to be looking at what you don't have and what you instead of what you do have. Stop looking at what you don't have and see what's right in front of you. Let me ask you this real question. Let's do a crowd exercise real quick. Just think about in your life, no matter where you're at, whether you're in a relationship or whether you're in the school, whether you're going to college, whether ministry's in your future, whether it's not. Think about this thing. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about what you're not in. But think about in this moment, right now, what is right in front of you. Yeah. The opportunity. Maybe it's just in this moment, in this chapel service. What do you have? You have this insane opportunity to be in a loving church who believes in you and believes in dreaming, believes in your future. What are you going to do with it? You need to put away the if I only. When you graduate and you go into a church, you might go into a church of 100 people, and you might go, man, if I only had a better facility. Man, if I had a better salary. If I had a better this and that. You could spend your whole life. I know pastors that are in their 60s in churches of 100 people going, if I only. Man, if I only. And I think it's sad. Look what you have. Now, I know pastors that are in their 60s in small churches that are actually growing in rural areas because they go, I don't care what I don't have. There's actually in Mitchell County, in Baker County, which is south of us, you think we're rural, they're rural, rural. They're in one of those country churches in a white, small little church, and they're a little bit older. Their kids come to our church, and they're going, what can I do? They have coupled with programs. They're putting shoes on kids' feet at their schools. They're feeding people. They're loving people, and God's blessing their ministry because they don't go, oh, if I only had some youth to me. If I could have the last 50 years back. If I could only have some colored lights. If I could only have a bigger building. If I could only have a little bit more money. And then they say, what do I have in front of me? Secondly, own your mistakes. Own your mistakes. Everybody say that. Own your mistakes. This guy put all of his mistakes upon his leadership and his master. He was making excuses. He was trying to mask his own mistakes. He was trying to say, hey, I didn't do anything wrong. Really, I did you a favor. Wow. Listen, pastors see through that. There's probably a crude word for it, but pastors see through that stuff. People see through that stuff. Does that make sense? People see through this mask, especially this new generation. Like the older people will believe kind of what you say sometimes, just because you say it and you're younger and you think you got a title. But listen, this new generation, anyone from like 20 to like 45, they see through that. They want you to be genuine. When you mess up, you own your mistakes. Yesterday we had Vision Day, and I don't mean to brag on us, but we located some things in our ministry and our processes that we weren't doing right. One thing is we see people give their lives to Jesus every week in our church, every week. Even yesterday, we're talking about vision, casting vision for the new year. Five people raised their hand making a decision for Jesus, which is awesome. But we've located that there is a major disconnect between someone raising their hand saying, I want to follow Jesus, and being discipled. And so we are sitting down as a staff, and we've come up with this whole process. We're writing a book. We're developing all these things. But I had to get up yesterday and say, listen, most of you have made a decision for Jesus in this room, and we have not done a good job getting you on the road to sanctification and discipleship and getting on you on a healthy road with Jesus. And if we don't, there's going to be a moment where the enemy hits you with the right thing, and you're going to walk away. Forgive us. We're going to do better, and this is how we're going to do it. Later on in the day, we throw a big party after this Vision Day. We have inflatables, and we feed everybody barbecue for free and snow cones. It's just a big party. It's awesome. However, at 12:15, I'm looking at I usually have my computer up on stage, and I kind of talk from that. I received a text message on my computer at altar call. So right after we're done praying for these people who come salvation, I'm like, hey, let's give it up. This is awesome. Everybody's like freaking out. It's awesome. And they're standing at the feet. I look down at my computer, and it says the barbecue guy isn't here, and we can't get a hold of him. We've been advertising for like 8 weeks that there's going to be a free barbecue meal. This guy with a food truck is not here. We can't get a hold of him. His phone's disconnected. I had a board member that took it upon himself to go to this guy's house. It's, I know, dude, they're intense down there, I'm telling you. The guy's not there. They skipped town yesterday. So we track him down. We find out he's started a new company as of like Friday. We confirmed on Wednesday, hey, we're going to have, you know, like 400 plates of barbecue, and you're not here. So we get this message saying, hey, I've started a new barbecue company. Call this number. For our new company. So we called it yesterday, last night, after the whole thing's done. We ran out and got pizzas, by the way, really quickly. Thank God for Little Caesars. It's like your dependable friend. It's not sexy, but they're always there for you, you know? It's hot now. Or lukewarm now, really. So we're there. And so we get a hold of this guy. His name's Jackie, and we know him because he's catered our events for the last 2 years. And we said, hey, man, we had like 400 people waiting on barbecue yesterday. It's over. It's done with. But like, what happened? He's like, I'm sorry. Who is this? Yeah, this is Ben. We talked Wednesday. You told me you'd be ready at this time, 12 o'clock, Church of the Groves. Yeah, I didn't talk to anybody on Wednesday. I'm like, yeah. Is this Jackie from Meat Slingers? Yeah. No, we did. We talked Wednesday. Are you sure it's not Sonny's? Jackie, you have catered our event for 2 years. Don't act like you don't know me. Own your mistakes. Because now this man, I didn't blast him on Facebook. I didn't put his name out there. I probably have some intense church members that will. But this guy, everybody knew because we had been advertising Meat Slingers. By the way, he needed to change his name anyway. Meat Slingers is a barbecue. Is not. So he's got now 400 people in our city that knows that this barbecue man did not show up and he skipped town. Listen to me. Look at me real quick. Own your mistakes. People respect you when you just own up and say, hey, I was wrong. I did this wrong. And we're going to improve, and we're going to get it better. We're going to make it right. Own your mistakes. This guy in the Bible with the one bag, he squandered it. He dug a hole. Don't be a hole digger. Don't throw it away. But if you do, own up and say, man, Sorry, you know my capacity, and I messed up, but I'm going to do better. Own your mistakes. Yeah. Let's move on. Own your mistakes. 26. Let's go back to the good people. But the master replied, "You wicked," or I'm sorry, this is the bad guy still. "You wicked and lazy servant, I knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you just deposit my money in the bank? At least I would have gotten some interest on it." The master was more mad about his lack of thinking. Do you realize that? That one bag that he could have gotten in interest or whatever else, he didn't care about that one bag. Notice when he gave the first man five bags of silver. Five bags. That's five times the amount he gave to this joker. He gave him five bags. What he said, "You've been faithful with this what kind of amount? Small amount. You've been faithful with this small amount of five bags of silver." Do you think that one bag of silver that this guy buried in the ground would break the master? It's chump change. He was more concerned with this guy's lack of thinking and his laziness. I always say, it takes a lot to get fired from our church on staff. And listen, you all are going to work for somebody someday. I'll even deal with character issues at some level. We can work on that. I don't deal with lazy. It doesn't fly. Don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. The master wasn't concerned about his lack of capacity. He was mad at his laziness. That wicked and what kind of servant? Lazy servant. Listen, you may not produce, you may not be, I'll probably never pastor a church of 5,000 people. But you know what? God may know that's not my capacity. But if I dig this church in a hole, and I just sit back and chill and go golfing 4 days a week, which I can't afford, by the way, if I did, you know what God's going to say? I gave you a bag of silver, and you buried it in the ground. You're lazy. Get out of here. And then it went sideways, didn't it? Throw this man into the outer darkness where there's gnashing of teeth, which I'm like, where is that? Like, the world wasn't that big back then. I don't know where this place is. Obviously, it's a metaphor for, you know, the bad place. He wasn't, this servant wasn't worried. He wasn't worried he'd lose it. He just wasn't thinking. He was lazy. Don't be lazy. Then he said, "Take the money from the servant, give to the one with the 10 bags of silver." Listen, if you don't do what you're supposed to do with what God's given you to, he's going to give it to somebody else. Yeah. We'll move on from that. 23, let's go back. The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. Let's party. Get the inflatables and the barbecue guy if he shows up and the snow cone truck. Let's party." Here's the thing. I want you to look at one word in this verse 23, and I will give you many more, and underline it, scratch it in your Bible. Try not to scratch your tablet, but it says many more opportunities, promotion, raises. What does it say? Responsibilities. Don't expect just opportunities in your life. Expect more responsibility. God doesn't promote you to chill. There are those where God gives, promotion and time and money, and they get to go on all these trips and things like that. God doesn't promote you to chill. God promotes you, and he gives you more responsibility. God blesses you to be a blessing, not to yourself, but to the world and to his kingdom. Here's the thing. As we close, this is the last thing. One of our core values at our church is a word called leverage. And we believe that with this thought in mind, that our core value is to leverage everything: talent, resource, ability, time, effort, passion, resource. We're going to leverage everything for his kingdom. Like, because life is short. Like, you hear that adage, life is short. But you do enough funerals, you understand that life is really, really short. Like, I just turned 39. And I still think that's young. However, I start looking at what's behind me in the last like 15 years and go, man, when were those times I dug a hole? And I have. I've dug so many holes in my life and threw the bag of money in that hole, in that opportunity and the resource. And it didn't affect just myself, but affected a lot of other people. And I want to encourage you, you can either be lazy and let time pass, or you can leverage. What are you going to do? Be going to leverage everything for the kingdom of God, or are you going to be lazy? You have an opportunity at this school. This school is a bag of silver. This school is like 10 bags of silver dropped in your lap. And you can go, wow, this is fun. It's awesome. I'm around a lot of really awesome people in a big church. And, man, it's just, man, everything's so fantastic. It's just so good. Man, this is so fun. I hope I never have to leave. We can take these moments and you can leverage them for your future. I'm telling you, the difference between people that are being effective in their ministry at any level, whether it's big or small, those that are truly fulfilled in their ministry, in their calling, whether it's in the marketplace or the ministry, those that are the most fulfilled, the most happy in their life, the most effective for the kingdom of God, are those that early on learn how to leverage absolutely every moment for the kingdom of God, not for themselves. Because at the end of your world, you could have a lot of money, you could have a lot of influence and a lot of great reputation, big flashy billboards, and man, you write books. And you can look back at your life and go, man, I haven't done anything for anybody else other than myself. And it gets really, really lonely. In the next few months, take this bag of silver that you have in this time in your life where you're working real hard. I know it. You're trying to pay school off. You're trying to learn everything you can from these leaders. And from this church and this opportunity, and ask the Holy Spirit this morning, what can I do this year? I'm not going to look at what I don't have, but this year, what can I do to leverage every opportunity I have to invest in someone's future in the kingdom of God? It's what it's all about. Because I'm telling you, you become a pastor, you become a leader, pastor of pastors, and you look back and you go, man, what could I have done better? Man, if I would have just started earlier, if I would have just started when I was in college or when I was young and I didn't have this many responsibilities, if I would just learn these things right now, I could have changed the world. Those that change the world learn how to leverage everything early. See the bag of silver in your hand. Haters gonna hate. They're going to see you. They're going to tell you, you can't do it. Prove them wrong. Own up to your mistakes. Don't be lazy. And absolutely leverage everything you have for the kingdom of God. And expand it. I know this is a pastor thing to say, but I can't wait to see what comes out of this room and out of this campus. I really think this has got the right formula to be world changing. I really do. Let's leverage everything. Can we do that? Would you pray with me? Lord, we love you. God, we thank you for everything you have given us. God, it's staggering to think where you've brought us. So many of us in this room have so many different backgrounds and so many different areas they've come out of, so many paths and journeys into this room. We all have different futures. We all have different opportunities and responsibilities. God, some in this room are going to go be in large churches and just blow things up for the kingdom of God. And some of us are going to be in rural churches, and some of us are going to be in the marketplace serving clients, coming up with great ideas for businesses that improve our world. God, and I thank you for where you've brought us all. God, you understand our capacity. God, you understand our future, our timeline, our resource. And I pray that you, given all of that, would say to all of us, whether we have five bags or two bags, you say, well done. You leveraged everything for my kingdom and not yours. So let's celebrate. God, I pray an anointing on everyone in this room. that you, even in this moment, would drop things in their life, dreams that are in their capacity, God, that they can reach. God, and I pray that you would give them the courage and the resource to meet those needs, God, as they leverage absolutely everything for your kingdom and not our own. We love you. We honor you. God, we lean in and on you today because we have to. We need you. In your name we pray. Amen.